We are really pleased that you're here this morning, and just want to thank you for being in the building, but also to all of those who are online. We are very, very aware that there are a number of people who regularly are part of our church community, but do everything from their home computers. So it's great to have you sharing with us as well. A.W. Tozer was an American pastor, and he was an author who emphasized the need for a deeper knowledge of God and the development of the inner life. He wrote a number of books, including The Pursuit of God, The Knowledge of the Holy, and The Radical Cross. He was described as an evangelical mystic, one who knew God intimately and powerfully. A.W. Tozer was extremely influential and was often described by his peers as a 20th century prophet. I remember years ago reading this comment that he'd made, and it really stuck with me and it bothered me. And I have used this quote countless times at leadership camps. Tozer said this: "We are here to be worshippers first and workers only second. We take a convert and we immediately make a worker out of him or her. God never meant it to be so. God meant that a convert should learn to be a worshipper first, and after that he can learn to be a worker. The work done by a worshipper will have eternity in it. True worship, of course, involves not only the sacrifice of praise, but also the sacrifice of our bodies and possessions. It means giving God his worth with everything we have. However, learning to praise him with our lips and maybe with our bodies in movement and dance can help us considerably to love him with our hearts and with our lives. When a Christian begins to fall in love with God, beautifully expressed, for example, in the Song of Solomon, the rest will follow." Again, Tozer puts his finger on it when he says this: "I am tired of being whipped into line, of being urged to work harder, to pray more, to give more generously, when the speaker does not show me Christ. Often I'm asked by clergy how to encourage Christians to serve joyfully, to give generously. I know of only one answer: help that person fall in love with Christ." This was the immediate mark of the Spirit's outpouring on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were overwhelmed by the love of God. And from that point onwards, no matter how fierce the opposition or tough the battle, they could record that the love of Christ controls us. I remember the first time I read that quote being stopped in my tracks. I was particularly challenged and confronted by these words: "I'm tired of being whipped into line, of being urged to work harder, to pray more, to give more generously, when the speaker does not show me Christ." I think that has happened way too often in churches, including this one. And I have been guilty of helping people feel as though they somehow haven't measured up or need to do more, or sadly their contribution wasn't as significant or valued as that of others. And for that, I want to apologise. For the times when I've tried to motivate or encourage but haven't shown Christ, I'm sorry. I was way off the mark. I think that quote resonated with me all those years ago because I thought there was truth in those words, but it was truth for others. It was about others. Now they resonate with me because I think I've been guilty myself. I heard a sermon by Craig Rochelle from Life Church in the United States, and he spoke about one phrase that is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul is writing to a church in Thessalonica, a church like ours, and he says these words: "But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you remain strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. How we thank God for you. And then he says, because of you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Because of you, we have great joy. Because of you. Because of your faithfulness. Because of your prayers. Because of the way you serve in life groups, because of the way you serve in cleaning teams, in the gardening teams, in the worship teams, in the youth and kids ministry, driving buses, for turning up to homework help week in and week out, for winter shelter, for chatter chats and stitch and chatter, for mainly music, because of the way you welcome and go out of your way, because of the practical care you give. I want to say personally that I'm humbled, encouraged, challenged, and filled with joy. And I want to acknowledge all the things that happen away from organized programs, all of the things that happen away from this building, that this church, individuals, going out of their way, living faithfully and humbly, what it means to be in God's kingdom. Because of you. Because of you. And I want to say up front, even though I don't need to, but I'm going to say it just in case someone wants to tell me about it later on. I know that we want God to receive all the praise. We want him to get the glory. He needs the credit. I get that. And we acknowledge that without him, we can do nothing. This morning, I want to say that it's never, ever about our might or our talents or our abilities. It is always about him. I get all of that. And I know that in so many ways, we've got a long way to go as a community of faith, as a community of believers seeking to be salt and light in this community. I get very, very clearly that we're not there yet. And today isn't about patting ourselves on the back or getting puffed up about us. But today, I want to say very clearly, I believe it's important for you to hear from me. Because of you, because of God being able to work through you, I'd like you to watch this video of two young ladies from our church.
Good morning, my name is Aben.
And I am a dog. We came to Australia in 2017 with our brothers and other sister. We came with no English. So both our parents died in South Sudan.
Our uncle and his wife brought us to Australia and then we came to Toowoomba.
A couple of days after we arrived, we met Ross and Emma in Humory Church. So we were very scared and felt a bit alone and lost.
This church has cared for us. This church have helped us learn English and helped us get school bags, school uniforms, and have helped us with our homework.
This church has helped us get jobs, do driving lessons, help us with accommodations, and introduce us to AFL.
Go Cougars!
Humory Church people have helped us feel that there is a God that really loves us and that we matter and not alone.
We felt like God's love is big enough for us, and we felt like we had second parents and God has brought you people into our lives.
I know that our lives would look very different if you didn't turn up for us.
So because of you, some kids who arrived here in Toowoomba a few years ago, orphans, have heard, and more importantly, they have experienced the love of God. It hasn't just been talk. There have been people, all sorts of people in this community who've gone out of their way big time to know that they matter, that they've been seen, that they've been heard, and have walked alongside them in all sorts of ways. Because of you, faithfully investing, this church was in place and it was ready to just step in and has stayed stepped in. Every week, buses head out. They are providing transport so that people can be here and can hear. People can hear and know that God thinks that they are worth it, that they are enough. And every now and then, one of those people who jumps on the bus hangs around and they serve beautifully as a youth leader. And now that person drives buses on a Friday night and they give others the chance to hear what she heard. And that person even gets up for the first time today and MCs the church service. That is a big deal. Mary was my navigator for all sorts of bus trips. She would tell me where I had to go next. She would read the list. She would tell me when I missed a turn, and she would tell me to watch my speed. And she was only 10. And one day she said to me, "One day, Ross, I'm going to drive the bus. When you're old, I'm going to drive the bus." And I'm so pleased I've made her dream come true. She now drives the bus on Friday nights. She gives others a chance to hear and experience that they matter to God, that they are seen, that they are heard. She serves beautifully because the buses went for her. And for others who were picked up on the buses, they're now serving in a paid capacity in the church, and they even get baptized. And they're out there now sharing God's love in all sorts of settings, in all sorts of places, because this Tuesday, a number of people will come here to our church and they will stay as our guests for the night. And from then on, for the next 12 Tuesdays after, they will be here every Tuesday night. They are the homeless of our community. They are our brothers and sisters. And being homeless in Toowoomba in winter is, I want to tell you, more than just a little difficult. But this Tuesday night, they'll be here. They'll be warm, they'll be safe, they'll be well fed, and they'll be wanted. We will want them here. And that is such a big deal to these people, to all people, to feel like they're wanted. We will be able to do this because of you. Because of you. I'd like you now to watch this clip that's come from the Kuza Foundation in Africa. We would like you just to have a look.
Here at Kuza Children's Foundation, we are excited to announce that the construction of our school, Kuza Junior Academy, is complete.
My name is Frank Lovoa, the school administrator of Kuza Junior Academy. We thank you so much for the great support you've given to this school.
This is a Christian-based school with a school motto of Mukatonda Byonna Biyinzika, with God, everything is possible. And it has a population of more than 100 students.
Nebaza Mukama olw'ekkanisa eri mu Australia kubanga bayimirira naffe nga tutandika obuweereza buno era ne batuyamba okusereka waggulu ng'enkuba etuyisa bubi ne batuyamba n'okutuwa essomero. Ab'ekkanisa eya Australia tubeebaza nnyo, mwebale nnyo, mwebalire ddala. Kirala twebaza Mukama ku lw'essomero ne basponsa baffe. Mukama abawe omukisa.
If you played any role making this happen, wide or small, we can't say thank you enough.
By the name's teacher Ipodoi Kelemental, class teacher primary 2.
I thank you for all what you're doing for the school and for the community. Thank you so much. We are praying for you. May God bless you.
It has been quite a journey to reach this point. After we launched the school project in September 2022, because of the need for quality and accessible education in the community, we had decided to start by renting, but with God's grace and your support, we have been able to construct 8 classrooms and the office broke. And now, Kuza Junior Academy is ready and we have a dedicated staff a conducive environment and a stable water supply that eases the child's learning process. As an organization, we recognize the importance of education in our community.
Ndi musanyufu nyo ne batuletere somero. Ndi musanyufu nyo kubanga nafuna nakalimu ntunda ebyokulya ku somero nefuna kasente akayamba family yange. Tweyanziza nyo, mwebale nyo, mwebalire ddala.
This has been possible because of everyone at Humor Ridge Church that joined and donated to make this happen. We are looking forward to put up permanent structures and extend our free services to our neighboring communities.
Benze Disa Senyendo, Musajja Musilamu, twasanyukira okutuleetera essomero lya kuza. Era tujja kuliwa abaana.
Lives are being changed because of your tremendous support.
Era turi basanyufu ku gitundu, mwe bare kutuletera ebirungi, mwe bare kutuyamba. Umwana wange mwe bare kumuwerera banange. Ndi musanyufu, mwe bare kuwerera umwana wange.
On behalf of Kuza Children's Foundation and Kuza Junior Academy, thank you. Because of you, we did it. Together, we build Kuza Junior Academy.
Thank you.
Humor Ridge Church, Taomba, thank you so much.
As well as all of the thank yous in the video, I want to thank you so much also. God gave me the chance to be in Uganda earlier this year for 3 months and to see the way that this school is already making an impact in the community. If it wasn't for this church, this school wouldn't be here and these kids would have never had the opportunity to get an education. This school is making a big difference within the community. It is reaching beyond the kids and has given people a hope for a better future. Thank you so much for your generosity in giving and your prayers. Because of you, there has already been so much done to change so many lives, but there is still a need for your help. There's an opportunity for you to support the community further through sponsorship. And if this is something that you are interested in, I'd love to talk to you after the service. I'll be out in the foyer and come and talk to me and we can have a chat. Once again, I just want to thank you so much. Now, because of you, there are some people in Uganda who have experienced God's love. Thank you.
These stories this morning aren't shared with any sense of making it all about us. I don't want to go there at all. Or we don't want to give the impression that we're it in a bit. That is not the intention at all. But I want to say very strongly that it is important for me to say thank you. To really actually stop and to say thank you. I have great joy because of you and how God is showing up through you. So let me conclude by saying a few things and then inviting you to share with me in communion this morning. Last year, I had a little boy coming along with his cousin and sister to play AFL in the teams I coach. He was just a really hard, angry, hurt little boy. He was only 8. And I found his attitude and his behaviour really difficult. And I was trying hard. But he seemed to go out of his way to make things difficult. And I remember saying to Rani and Emma one afternoon, I think we might give this kid a miss. We might just let this one go. I should have known why he was so hard. I should have had some idea. I had conducted his mum's funeral about 1 year previously. His mum had taken her own life. And I really knew, that life for this little fellow since that time had been anything but stable. but I wasn't sure that we could help, and I struggled with this kid. Relatives had stepped in and were doing their best, but he was one of six kids in that family, and there was no dad in sight. But for some reason, one Sunday afternoon, I decided I would put his name on our prayer sheet for the Sunday afternoon prayer service. I gave no context. I just put his first name down, and I just asked people to pray for this little boy. And I have left his name on the prayer sheet every week. And people have prayed and prayed and prayed. And people have prayed hardcore for this little fella. And I want to stand here before you and say that since then there have been changes. And some of the biggest changes are in the person who's standing up here because you prayed. But there have been other changes. His nan has been able to step in, and his nan now cares for him, and that is good. And since then, I want to tell you that he comes consistently to everything. He's here every Wednesday night for Stumpies. He's here Sunday morning at church and sometimes wants to sit with me at the front, and other times he's really happy downstairs. And he doesn't miss footy. And after this morning's service, he and I are going off to buy some footy boots because he hasn't got any and his sand shoes are falling apart. But I want to say to you that this little fella loves being part of things. He wants to be here. And you have no idea how much it means to him that he is able to be here, that people pick him up on the bus, people get him home safely, people spend time with him here. And I'll be honest with you all. There are some Sunday mornings I get a little bit nervous. Well, not nervous, but a little bit concerned. See, I want to tell you, he looks the part. He often looks like he's on his way to trouble. And so I get busy trying to keep him busy or keep him moving or finding chocolate. Mother's Day this year was not an easy day for him. He was here. And at the end of the morning, he asked if he could come to the prayer service, the first time he'd ever come. So I said we'd pick him up, and his cousin said he'd come too. So they both came to the prayer service. Here he is with his cousin, all set to pray. He's off to the side on my left, standing there. We sang some songs at the start, and I want to tell you, I could hear him singing. He didn't hold back. And then at one point, he started to clap along as he sang. No one else in the room was clapping. He just decided he would. So Jackson and I, who were on the table, decided we'd better join him. And I struggled to do two things at once, so it was difficult. He was singing this song, "The Goodness of God." And these are the words he sang. He sang and he clapped. "I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And with every breath I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It is running after me. And I want to say to you that I believe it is. I believe God's goodness is running after him because of you. Because of you.